And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It is approaching 5 minutes past nine on this Monday. It's the 3rd of March, 2025. Thanks very much for tuning in, and hopefully we'll keep you informed and entertained over the next 3 hours. And we've got the usual mix of news, opinions and features. So we want you involved in the conversation throughout, of course. WhatsApps and texts to 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. Give us a call on 07491 25000, or if you want to email, it's comments@highlandradio.com. We have Caroline Orr back after her well-deserved break. Thanks to Donna Marie for standing in last week. But Caroline's back, and she's assisted by Shannon Wilkins. Okay. If you want to watch the programme, don't forget you can do so if you're at home on your smart TV or Fire Stick. We're on the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland. We're across Facebook and also on the X platform. And lots of content from the fantastic Hospitality Awards, Highland Radio's Hospitality Awards, which took place, as I mentioned, to Lee, but people tune in and out at different times at the wonderful Jackson's venue. It is beautiful. We were really well looked after. The room looked fantastic. The food, I don't know how these places managed to feed so many people at the same time. The entertainment was great. Marty Friel was great, as always. And it was just a great buzz, and the joy on people's faces as they won their awards. And there's some fantastic pictures of that as well, which will be going up on our socials and on our website in the hours and days to come. But congratulations to everyone. Anyone that was shortlisted because 70-odd thousand people voted, you know, your customers. So being shortlisted was fantastic, winning extra special. And the list of winners and all that kind of stuff is there on our Facebook, and will be updated elsewhere when needs be. And also to another fantastic venue, the Mount Errigal on Friday night. The Garda Sports Awards were on there as well. And we showed our face there. It was a lovely night as well. Again, fantastic food and service at the Errigal, the Mount Errigal Hotel. We're blessed, you know, with these fantastic facilities that can host these major, major events. And a long, busy, fun weekend. Great to be back here in normality, though, at the microphone here. Right. It was an incredibly difficult weekend at the same time too, and it's hard to sort of frame my weekend as something as so positive, and there was so much joy, and that's fine, and people need to experience joy as well, but there was just absolute devastation wreaked. I was going to say West Donegal, but I don't think it's just West Donegal. It's right across the region and beyond, with a very tragic collision that took place late on Friday evening. It's in the papers today, and I'm going to mention it in the papers today, but I know the families have an awful lot to be dealing with. So in terms of coverage, we're going to leave it at that. Not because it's not an incredibly significant story, but there's been an awful lot of coverage over the weekend, and it's just to give, I suppose, families the space that they need at this impossible, impossible time. I'll read from the Donegal News this morning. The close-knit communities of West Donegal are continuing to reel from the tragic loss of two young friends in a car collision in Gortahawk at the weekend. Named locally as teenager Sean McClafferty and Jamie Diver, who was in his 20s, the two young men were pronounced dead at the scene of the single vehicle collision on Friday night when the car they were in collided with a gable wall in the townland of Attorney Gortahawk. At around 9:30 p.m. two others who were in the car were injured. Both bodies were removed from the scene to the mortuary at Letterkenny University Hospital, where post-mortem examinations will take place in due course. These two young lads are clearly incredibly incredible young men, and you could see that from comments from friends, extended family, work colleagues, that these were two incredibly important people. To be ripped away in this way is just incredibly sad. And all I can say is that our thoughts and prayers are with the families and all of those affected, because this is the type of tragedy that affects an entire community. And we're thinking very much on all of you. and also too on the family and friends of the two others who were in the vehicle and are still receiving treatment, as far as I understand. We just wish them a full and complete and rapid recovery. And we're just thinking on everyone affected, but directly affected by that awful tragedy. The Derry news this morning, Royal Mail branded a shambles. A young Derry woman has been left majorly out of pocket due to the shambles surrounding her Irish passport application. As a result, Georgie O'Hagan has cautioned other first-time applicants about using the post office's passport postal service, and has called for an Irish passport office to be opened in the north. I've been calls for that for longer than I care to remember. I don't see it ever happening. Again, the front of all the papers and inside many cover a remarkable scene that unfolded in the Oval Office of the White House on Friday. And that was a very public slapdown of Volodymyr Zelensky by Donald Trump and his assistant, his vice president, J.D. Vance. And if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's 40 minutes long and it gives a great context to all of it. But I don't know what to think about all of that. I'm hearing words like, you know, end the war. Donald Trump mentioned 2,000 soldiers, both Russian and Ukrainians, at least had died in the week in advance to this. And I'm hearing talk about peace, that peace has to happen. And accusing Zelensky of sort of playing with World War III and what have you. And I'll be honest with you, and this is based on my ignorance, I'm thinking that language kind of makes a lot of sense. But then also I see a massive coverage over the weekend, particularly in the media that we're exposed to here, of a massive rebuke of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. And we've had world leaders, including the leader of this country, world leaders from all around the world, rallying behind Zelensky and Ukraine, talking of ceasefires and peace, but also talking about increasing money for the continued fight on the front lines. I don't know what to think. I don't know. Maybe you've all formulated your views. I'd be really interested in your reflections on from regardless of what your opinion is on the events in the Oval Office on Friday and what's happened since. We're going to be now, because of this and in response to what happened on Friday, €750 million of Irish taxpayers' money is going to be pumped into Ukraine's defence, effectively, and that's their offence. And that's where we're at now. We did seem like we were on the brink of some sort of a resolution. Now we seem further away than ever. We did hear the British Prime Minister and the French President talking about trying to come up with some sort of a ceasefire or a truce, as they called it. But why now and in what context? As I say, what's your views on that? I'd be very interested, if you have a view on that, to hear what your views are. But I'll read from the Irish Times this morning. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer warned that Europe was at a crossroads in history as he led a summit of 18 world leaders scrambling to contain the damage from a rupture between the United States and its Western allies on Ukraine. Mr. Starmer warned the leaders, including those of France, Germany, Italy and Spain, that European states must not repeat the mistakes of the past by devising a weak peace pact that Russia might be tempted to breach. Now, Vladimir Putin says, and I suppose it's easy for him to say, he says that Europe is paranoid and it's filling its population with this fear that Russia is the big bad wolf. I'm not saying they're not, by the way. I'm just saying that that is what Vladimir Putin is saying. Europe's security is our responsibility above all, said Mr. Starmer, as the heads of state gathered in London and rallied around Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky after he clashed with US President Donald Trump last week. And just to reflect on that briefly, he was asked why he's not wearing a suit. The argument was that it's disrespectful to the Oval Office. With that in mind, Elon Musk went in there with a cap and a jacket and a T-shirt, so he got away with it. But he does walk around in combat gear all of the time, but maybe that's to emphasise the state of world affairs and his country's place in that. A big change in terms of your motor insurance. You're going to need your driver license number, a valid one. to insure your car from the end of this month. Drivers renewing or taking out new motor insurance must provide their unique driver number from the end of this month. The Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland is warning that from March 31st, it will be an offence for any insurance provider or broker to issue a motor policy where the driver's number has not been supplied. This means that anyone who does not provide the driver number for all named drivers on their insurance policy will not be legally able to receive motor insurance. A driver's unique number is included on their driving licence and stays with them for life, regardless of changes to their vehicle, insurance policy, and even when they renew their licence. The new measure was included in the Road Traffic and Roads Act 2023 and is aimed at enhancing road safety. I presume your numbers are linked to, firstly, that your licence is in date, because otherwise it would, you know, or if you've had your licence revoked for an offence, does that mean that that will be flagged when you're trying to get insurance? On to the Irish Independent now, and the Attorney General has been petitioned to order an inquest into in Ireland into the circumstances of the murder and rape of Donegal woman Danielle McLaughlin in India in 2017. You'll know that Vikat Bhagat, an Indian gang member, was found guilty of raping and murdering the 28-year-old and was sentenced to life in jail on February 7th in Goa, 17th, I beg your pardon. Ms. McLaughlin's mother, Andrea Branigan, travelled to India for the conclusion of the trial, accompanied by one of her daughters as well as Ms. McLaughlin's best friend. In March 2017, Ms. McLaughlin, who had been backpacking in the area, was found dead in a field in the western state of Goa. Ms. Branigan said there were several reasons she hoped this inquest might be granted. We got a post-mortem report. It was over 100 pages long. It's very technical. Part of the job of the coroner is to condense that for us to explain it, she said. So you can understand why they want answers there. On to the Red Top tabloids now, and patients who are deaf or hard of hearing are waiting up to 3 years for treatment, says a charity. And support group Chime revealed the number of people waiting for audiology treatment has risen from 20,000 in 2020 to more than 26,500 today. Almost half of those on the wait list are children under 18. And on today's World Hearing Day, Chime is urging the Department of Health to immediately introduce an initiative to deal with delays in audiology treatment. So maybe you're the parent of a child on one of these lists. If you want to tell us your story, it might better help us as the wider public to understand. But 26,500 people are now waiting, many of them children, actually, almost half of them, for audiology tests. Back to matters of national security, one might argue, and the Irish Star tells us that the government is to change Ireland's triple lock system by removing the requirement for United Nations Security Council approval for Irish peacekeeping operations. Draft legislation to remove it will be brought to Cabinet tomorrow by Taoiseach and Foreign Affairs and Defence Minister Simon Harris. Under the current system, any deployment of more than 12 Irish troops must be mandated by the UN and approved by the government. Under the new draft legislation, this number will be increased from 12 to 50, and the Cabinet and Dáil would decide peacekeeping missions. Now, I don't know all the ins and outs of this, but people often say, you know, well, the triple lock, what will this mean? At the moment, my understanding is that the likes of Hungary or Russia currently have a veto on certain peacekeeping missions, and removing that third part of this triple lock means that the decision is down now only to Irish matters, you know, the Dáil and what have you. So that's my hopefully not naive reading of that. And finally, an update on the well-being of Pope Francis, and we might actually try and get you an update directly from Rome a little later on. But Pope Francis is in a stable condition and resting as he continues his recovery from double pneumonia. The pontiff again skipped his weekly noon blessing on Sunday, and I think most people will understand and accept that. Instead, the Vatican distributed a message from the 88-year-old Pope in which he thanked his doctors for their care and well-wishers for their prayers. He said he's living his time in hospital as an experience of profound solidarity with people who are sick and suffering everywhere. He added, "I feel in my heart the blessing that is hidden within frailty, because it is precisely in these moments that we learn even more to trust in the Lord." And that was a run through some of the stories making the front of and inside of today's newspapers. Now, there was a lot of conversation on Thursday, but particularly Friday, about traffic congestion in and around Letterkenny. And such was the level of interest that we had to carry it over to this morning. And I'm joined on the programme now by Rosie. Hi, Rosie.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you doing?
I am doing okay.
Okay. What's your take on the situation around Letterkenny, but also approaching and trying to get through Letterkenny, Rosie?
Well, I'm originally from Remelton, but I live in Letterkenny, and it's just totally ridiculous. Now, last week was, we'd never seen anything like it. At the minute, I have a broken ankle, so my sister was taking me back up to Letterkenny, and she had somewhere to be at 6:30. We left just near the Silver Tassie. Mm. We left there about 6:15 or 6:20, thinking we're in good time. And we come up the Remelton Road and decided to go by Elkhorns, you know, on that road. And we sort of turned up there, and we saw that the cars were jammed back up to almost the entrance to Elkhorns.
Wow.
So we turned thinking we'll go back down and we'll try going down Maharennan. Now that was jammed as well, so we decided to go down the Glebe Road, which would be like a left road. It's before the corner at the top of Maharennan. Mm-hmm. We went down there. And at this stage, I was trying to get up to my own house. But she said to me, I'll leave you down here. We have two houses, so I went to my husband's house. I said, you know what, you can leave me down here, because when we got to where you'd be cutting out the Thorn Road, the cars were jammed again.
Wow.
And she said, leave you out. She says, I'm throwing you out. And about 20 minutes later, she rang me. She says, guess where I am now? And I says, you're bound to be in the town. She says, I'm still not out on the main Remelton Road. The cars was jammed that way. Like, she still wasn't out near a ring of seven where you cut out there. It was just absolutely disgraceful on Thursday evening, Greg.
There's no local knowledge. You could have avoided that. And in fairness, what time would you have to have left at to get to where you needed to be at 6:30, 4:00, 3:30?
God, I don't know. Because then she was supposed, she's in the triathlon club, and she was meeting people to run. And she was trying to, she says, ring them. And they were saying, all right, we're stuck here. We're stuck, like those people coming from different directions onto the town, but everybody was stuck. It seemed to be that the main problem, it was a bottleneck once you got out to the dry arch, or apparently before the dry arch. I heard a lorry driver on Friday saying about they had sort of coned off the roundabout. So it was the fact that cutting trees and closing one lane, going out the dual carriage.
It is quite remarkable, isn't it, though, that, I mean, obviously you could question the timing of it, because the cones were out, I understand, even though work wasn't ongoing. It's hard to imagine, isn't it, or maybe it's not, that the inward traffic being reduced to one lane could snarl up where you were trying to go from A to B at. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the town must be incredibly vulnerable to any disruption at all to the inward lanes.
Well, you would, like, we would be aware, because we have local knowledge, we would be aware that it's busy. Mm. You know, you could say from maybe 4:30 going on the Remelton Road gets busy. You know, so we were given extra time to get in the way. But then, it's sort of in the morning and in the evening, the town just, it really just takes ages to get about. But one blockage, like one fixture like that, just really, really upset it, and just made everybody stuck and everybody at a standstill for places they had to be.
Rosie, you know, for the likes of yourself and others, we understand it's an inconvenience. I think, you know, it's more than an inconvenience, because you do need to be able to move around the place that you live. But we always, don't we, put our minds to those that might be stuck in the back of an ambulance or waiting on the arrival of an ambulance or a rapid response vehicle. And, you know, we've all seen the videos of them having to go up on footpaths and cycle lanes and what have you to access or excess out of the town. That's something that worries you, I understand.
That really worries me. That has worried me since the road coming in from the dry arch to the Port Bridge roundabout, or whatever they call it now, I would say the Port Bridge roundabout, that has worried me since that. But like, see when you see a jam going out the Remelton Road and you hear people saying the Kilmacrenan Road was bad, and you hear people saying coming on the Cullion Road, down Ran Road, every road to Letterkenny was really jammed. I don't, God forgive me, but if there was a major disaster happening in Letterkenny, or in the area, not on Letterkenny, we'll say in the area, we've had one a few years ago, without disrespect to anybody about that, but if there was another major disaster happening in Letterkenny, or do you know what, for one family, it would be a major disaster if you had somebody in an ambulance and they couldn't get access to the hospital.
Well, unfortunately, we've
or
had,
if your house was on fire.
Of course, Rosie, but of course it happens because we've spoken to people in those situations. You know, like often we warn of what may happen. This has happened. Okay, we need another bridge over the Swilly, you say. I think a lot of the public understand that the big solution, obviously, is the 10T. That could be into the next decade. I think there is a consensus that we need to be doing something interim. Now, what we are doing, seemingly, is narrowing the roads through the likes of these active travel routes. I don't know what impact that will have, Rosie, but we'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
Now, Greg, I'm going to get really annoyed now because I have a broken ankle. I couldn't get to the vestry last week to voice my opinion about the cycle lanes.
Do you not have cycled with one leg, Rosie? No. I'm actually just winding you up now. Sorry.
I can't drive and I can't walk.
I'm only joking. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
No, the cycle. See, to put a cycle lane now, I'm jumping from Thursday to the cycle lanes going up around the circular road, especially in Ballyrean. Like, the roads are bad enough without cycle lanes.
Yeah.
Coming down, where I live, you're coming down the long lane right now. I've known this for years going to school. My oldest daughter's 28, so say for 24 years, we'll say I've known the way the town gets in the morning and in the evenings. From, I always sort of miss school times or work times. You could be coming down the circular road. You could be coming, say, from Glencare roundabout, trying to get to the hospital roundabout to go to the Kilmacrenan Road or Remelton. There's cars jammed because, at this stage, I've nobody left to go to school, but when I'm going to work, I would be driving up, and I can see cars jammed up, trying to get out at the hospital roundabout. Cars jammed back as far as Glencare roundabout, coming up the back road, coming from the schools there. They're also jammed. Like, that, to try and put cycle lanes up there, we need to put a third lane up. Instead of putting a cycle lane, they need to take some of the big grass verge away and try and make one exit route to go left on coming from the hospital, coming from Circular Road to the hospital.
Yeah.
One going left, one going straight, and one going right.
But there's actually a centre lane being removed. There's a centre lane being removed from parts of that road too, though.
Even if they had to do that, or remove the bollards, I don't know, they could put on ramps or do anything, as long as people could get moving about in the morning.
All right.
Like I said, I'm no road planner, but it's just, this my views, and a lot of people are thinking.
That's why I asked you, Rosie. How long have you had the cast on for now, before it comes off?
I don't know how much longer. I had a bad slip in the stairs in my own house.
Right.
And I dislocated two ways and got three breaks.
It's not going to be your standard 6 weeks.
Now, it's not going to be my standard 6 weeks.
Okay.
It's 4 weeks on Saturday since I had the operation. I'm back up tomorrow week in the hospital, and I'll see what the
fingers crossed, is. Rosie. Fingers crossed.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, take
Thank
care
you.
Yourself.
And you looked beautiful last night at the Highland Radio.
I'm sorry for winding you up about cycling with one leg now. Thanks so much, Rosie. I really appreciate that. It was great fun. Thanks so much. You're very kind.
Thanks, Greg.
Bye-bye, Rosie. Take care. Sandra has a view on this as well. Sandra, thanks for holding and listening to Rosie there. Good morning to you. What's your
views
on
this,
Sandra?
Basically, great. Well, I commented on the Facebook last week about more, they're going to be putting up more cycle lanes, whatever. I think there's enough cycle lanes, or forget about cycle lanes, especially on the main roads in and out of Letterkenny, Greg, because The motorway out of Letterkenny, or so-called, as they keep calling it, the four-way or the four-lane motorway out of Letterkenny, there's only, they didn't change it. They made it smaller with two lanes out and two lanes in, and with a great big thing down the middle of it, which is no need for. And you very seldom, going out that road, you very seldom see anybody on the cycle lane. Also, they put cycle lanes on the back road, Convent Road, whatever. And, I mean, anybody that cycles in that there, I mean, they would need an ambulance to get to them because it's literally turning it into a cardiac hill. I don't know what the purpose of it is. Maybe Letterkenny's hoping to host the Tour de France down the line or something. Otherwise, I think it's just a waste of time putting them in.
Yeah, but even, like, I don't spend much time in Dublin. I'm not anti-cyclist or walking or whatever, or scootering or whatever people might choose to do. But even down in Dublin, the whole city's snarled up with these active travel measures, and you very rarely see any cyclists on them. You know what I mean?
But the thing about it is...
Yeah, go ahead, Sandra.
Yeah, Greg, the thing about it is, here, the amount of people that... Everybody here... Dublin, they've got great...
public transport, yeah.
Transport. Mm. Absolutely. Whereas here, we depend on cars to get from A to B, really.
Yeah.
I live out in the country, and there's no way that I could possibly cycle where I am. Mm. And anyway, it's too dangerous because of the situation of the traffic in Letterkenny. Everybody's using country roads now, and the roads are just too dangerous then to go either walking or cycling on out along the countryside.
Good point, yeah, good point. They're using these roads as sort of...
And you can't blame people.
Bypasses, yeah.
Yeah, you can't blame people for actually doing it. But then it ends up then that the country roads then are the road surface is absolutely diabolical then, because there's so much traffic on the country roads, and you know the road surface wasn't built for it, you know.
I think if this
so
was
I don't
done,
know what the solution
if
is,
this,
Greg.
I think the solution is it's cart and horse, isn't it? I think from what I'm gathering from people, say the 10T work was done, and traffic was eased in Letterkenny, because we had alternatives and you didn't have to go through Letterkenny if you were travelling from, I don't know, Dunloe to Strabane. You wouldn't have to go through Letterkenny, so that would relieve traffic like that. But then when there's less traffic, then you sort of look at active travel measures, narrow the roads a little bit. Then you have your footpaths and your cycle lanes, and maybe not our generation, Sandra, but maybe the next generation, the generation of that, will start travelling in a different way. It just feels for some, what I'm getting on this show is that we're putting the cart before the horse. We're trying to turn Letterkenny into this different type of traffic space, but all the traffic still, because of the delays in the 10T, all the traffic still has to go through Letterkenny just to get from A to B. That's what I think maybe the problem is for, you know.
Well, the other thing as well, Greg, when they're doing works, you know, like cutting trees, which will be happening very shortly now, coming into spring, summer, whatever. But I think any of those contracts should be awarded to somebody that can do works overnight.
Nighttime
when the
work,
roads
yeah.
aren't busy.
100%,
I mean,
yeah.
doing all those road works and things during the day, it's they know that the situation in Letterkenny is crazy without adding to it. And I think award the contract to whatever contractor is going to do the work overnight, when the traffic's from 7 to 7 or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people can plan their journeys then for that.
All right. Okay. A lot of it. Go ahead, Sandra.
Yep.
Of course. Go ahead.
Something else that I wanted to say. We're always talking about this bridge over the Swilly. I don't think it's going to happen in my day anyway or whatever. But I had an old newspaper cutting. It was an old freebie paper used to have in Letterkenny back about 20 years ago, called the Letterkenny Post. And I had a copy of the paper and I'd misplaced it. But somebody out there might have a copy or might be able to source a copy. But on the headlines on that paper, and it was around about 2005, and it said that I think it was 15 million or something, Greg, which was a lot of money,
yep.
was allocated to Donegal County Council to build the bridge across the Swilly. Now, I can't put my hand on the newspaper again, but I definitely had it. And I could swear it was 50 million, but maybe somebody might be able to source.
Well, maybe that coincides with somewhere. The time that there was property and land. Now, I'm someone with better local knowledge than I. There was CPO of businesses there, wasn't there, that maybe might be the start and end of the bridge. So maybe that was part of that. But we'll throw it out there, Sandra. Someone's going to have the answer. That's the one thing I know about the 9 till noon show family. Everyone, someone's going to know something.
For now, Letterkenny Post.
2015 or 5?
It's about 2005, Greg. I think around 2004. I think it was 2005.
Right. Okay.
Or thereabouts. I think between 2004 and 2005, but somebody might be able to source something on it anyway.
All right, leave it with. Thanks
and
so much.
And what happened to the money? What happened to the money?
I'm not going to say anything because I didn't get much sleep last night that might get me into trouble. So Sarah, stop asking leading questions, Sandra, when I'm a little bit sensitive.
Okay,
thanks,
Greg.
Sandra. Take care of yourself. God bless you. Thank you very much indeed. That's Sandra and Rosie before her there. A caller says there should have been a bridge built from near Letterkenny Golf Course that goes across the Swilly and comes out near Murray Motors, as a bridge at Bonagie isn't going to make much difference as most of the traffic is going into town. I'm not really... There was a survey done on Letterkenny traffic levels. It feels like it could have been 2005. That's how time goes. And I wonder, have these surveys accounted for where the traffic is going? You know, the amount of through traffic versus traffic that's going to somewhere in Letterkenny. A caller believes a bridge won't even solve the traffic issues, which some of you might sympathise with there. One more just before a break. I live on the Remelton Road, and around 20 to 5, you're stuck in traffic and you need to be away at that time to be in town for 5:30. You're blocked if you go via Alcorns or past Arena 7. So, like, theoretically, I could leave here and, you know, be not far off Lahey by the time it takes someone, if, you know, with a good tailwind. Well, I'll probably need another 20 minutes, but my point being to go from the Remelton Road to somewhere in the town. That's how long people are sitting in their cars. The caller goes on to say, I beg your pardon, we need Gardaí to be directing at the Mr. Price roundabout, as nobody lets you out. Every 30 minutes would make a world of difference. I get where you're coming from as well. Gardaí are incredibly unresourced in this county, as you'd be aware. And having them on traffic duty in one town in the county and how many you might need, plus it's not their responsibility. I get where you're coming from, but is that the solution either? It might be a short-term solution. Okay, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the Gardaí. I don't know what their relationship is with the traffic and the council and roads and all that kind of stuff. I just recall a guard telling me one time that they often don't have the resources to be fixing problems, not of their creation, it has to be said. All right, then, let's take a break. Back shortly. Now, yesterday there was a very important meeting of families of children with no places at Little Angels in Letterkenny. Now, you would know that there is a new building there, and there's a certain amount of classrooms have been provided, and it actually hasn't got the capacity to meet the needs of the county, which is, as many might feel, an opportunity lost. There are a number of families who were informed last month that come September there won't be a place for their child. And I want to just remind us of the family's experiences and the implications of this. We'll get a political response to this in a moment. But first, I want to speak to Aoife. Aoife, thanks so much for your time this morning. It is greatly appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, Greg, for having me on again.
Yep. Now, remind us, you're the mum of Casey, and you got that information on that Friday saying no place for Casey in September. Did this come, just to remind our listeners, as a bolt out of the blue, Aoife?
It was definitely a surprise for us as parents to get that call and then the letter to state that he didn't have a place now coming for September. Because like that, we had been given reassurance that he would be getting in due to his severity of his needs. It was just kind of more or less paperwork that needed to be carried out just to get him in.
What's your assessment of the meeting last night? Because it was attended by TDs, ministers, and councillors. So, what was the mood of the meeting, or how did it go on?
I suppose we went into the meeting, but we were a group of eight parents. I suppose after it came a light that there was a few parents who were affected by this. Like we had, we came together as a group of eight parents to set up a group. And we then started for the last 2 weeks getting on to counsellors, TDs, anyone who would listen. And we arranged the meeting for last night in Letterkenny. And we were really, really happy with the turnout. We have a fantastic political representation now moving forward in this fight. And the overall agreement of the meeting was that we were united, that these kids deserve a space for this coming September.
But it has to be, obviously, the right fit for your child and the other children affected by this, Aoife. Was that made clear last night as well?
Yeah, I suppose us as a group of parents, we all individually spoke about our kids and their needs, because it's essential to get across to the wider community is that not every child is the same. Every child has so many has different needs, and they will need different resources. So we obviously as parents don't want to put our child into angels, but it's essential that our kids go there for their needs. For their needs to be met and for them to reach their fullest potential. And I suppose at the meeting we got that across, and the representations, they understood that where we were coming from. And when we put the proposals of maybe solutions moving forward, and we discussed those as well on the night.
How many children do you believe are affected by this, Aoife? Because the figure of nine was given sort of at the start of this controversy. But not everyone's going to come out straight away sort of putting their hands up and saying me too. Do we have a sense, Aoife, of how many young people might be affected by this oversubscription?
So at the moment, my belief is that there is eight on the actual official register, because those are the people who had the documentation ready for the closing date of the applications. But there was a number thrown around last night that there was 36 families who's going to be affected by this. And Pierce Doherty did back that up and said that his office had received numerous calls as well who haven't got their application form in because they're waiting on their cognitive assessments.
Okay. Now, we are just at the start of March, and for some, September might seem like a long way away, but in terms of a solution to this and maybe additional equipment or whatever might be needed to best meet the needs of the children, we need decisions now, don't we, to make sure that things are ready to go in September if the will's there.
I suppose, and this is what I try to get across, obviously, Casey, our son, is a child that will need equipment because our child isn't mobile. He will need about three different pieces of equipment. And when I had the meeting with our CDNT team, obviously they can't order because it has to be done through the Department of Education. And this takes ages to actually get in. So even if, like, we would need an answer within the next few weeks for us then to put in for the application for the equipment, for to have all his equipment ready for him to start in September. So it's a matter of urgency, to be honest.
Okay. Stay with me, Aoife. Councillor Michael McBride was at the meeting as well. Michael, thanks for your time. You were amongst a strong group of politicians of all political persuasions or parties and none. What's your reflection on last night's meeting?
Good morning, Greg. I think Aoife's kind of outlined the meeting and what happened there quite well. I'd just like to thank the parents for inviting me there yesterday. It was a well-attended meeting with Minister Charlie McConlogue, Pat Cope Gallagher, Pierce Doherty and Padraig McLaughlin. An apology in there from Charlie Ward, Councillors Thomas Sean Devine, Dennis McGee, Michael Colin McGill Asprick, Padraig McGarvey and myself, and you know, a good group of parents. And I suppose it was a one-issue meeting about the eight children that are without places in the Little Angel School for September coming. The parents highlighted, each of them spoke about their own child, and they outlined it very well, what the needs of their children were and what supports they need. And now, the meeting did decide that the TDs we'll go back and talk to the minister this week. The dial's not sitting next week, so they're going to try and get some answers this week, because the parents laid it out very clearly that they needed to know this week, so as they could start looking for special equipment and stuff like that if their children are going to get into the the Little Angel school.
It's remarkable. It's remarkable that for all the rows about speaking rights and who gets to speak and who gets not to speak, that there's no doll sitting on, effectively until St. Patrick's Day to actually deal with issues like this. Sometimes it does feel like the hand's been taken, because this is exactly why you need a parliament sitting. I don't care who speaks when and when at this point, actually, as long as issues like this get heard. But anyway, listen, that's just my interjection. The options that are on the table, I don't know if you want to go through them, Michael, or Aoife. It's up to either of the two of you. Michael, do you want to outline what short-term options might be available?
Well, there's three short-term options available there, Greg. And the first one is to use the current Little Angels building that is alongside the new building. The second one is to keep the two classrooms and the Educate Together building. And the third one is to relocate two or three prefab units onto the site for the new building. So I think when the TDs get back to us, they'll probably know which of those is the preferred option. And then it's a matter of about how we can move that forward and what kind of time frame that it will take to do that. And the parents will be have a much clearer picture then of where we are going forward. But I believe that this should be a platform, Greg, from yesterday's meeting, to have a county-wide board or organisation set up to try and deal with the needs of these children going forward. Because, you know, there's so many issues, and we know by talking to people who ring in all the time about the challenges that they face with children with disabilities. They're really feeding off the crumbs from the table.
It's just everything is a fight. Everything is a battle from the moment a child with additional needs is born. Right, yes. Up through their adulthood, everything is a battle.
Right.
You know, even just respite. I was going to say even just respite. It's such an important thing. And obviously different children and families have different needs, but everything is a battle. It's like playing whack-a-mole. There's an issue, right? We've got some resolution on to the next one. Maybe...
That's exactly right, Greg. I mean, you talk to parents, and we get calls from them all the time, you know, looking for bits and pieces. And it is just an absolute fight for them, for every little thing that they have to look for. And we need to be looking at probably, there should be probably another building, such as the one in Letterkenny on the south side of Donegal, to try and relieve the pressure and to open up the one, you know, to give more capacity in the service. The lack of the respite services, we're well aware of that out in Ballymacool and the staffing of it. We have to look at things like group homes and these new housing developments that have been developed in Donegal, and probably look at assisted living as well, because, you know, the parents are not going to be able to look after these children forever. So there is a lot of issues that we need to be dealing with.
Which causes great anxiety, as you know. Okay, Aoife, do you have a preferred option? I would imagine as close as possible that all the children are together would be preferable. I don't know. I don't want to speak on your behalf, Aoife, but what's your, of those three options, what would be your preference?
I think as a group of parents, when we sat down and we had our Zoom meetings, I suppose we were looking for, we didn't want to just come to the TD. We just didn't want to come to the TDs and the councillors with just like what he's going to do. We wanted to put forward like proposal, like this is what we can see as a lay person on the ground. So those were the three proposals we put forward to them. Our preferred as parents would be, because it's an amazing building and we don't want to take away from the structure that's there. And I suppose when we discussed last night about possibly keeping the Educate Together buildings, I feel as a parent, and if I had a parent and if I was a parent and I had a child in that classroom, I would want my child to go into that facility. So I do think that that's probably not the best option, that those kids should be integrated into the new service.
I agree. That's how I feel.
And I feel that maybe... For short term, as like I know that older building of Little Angels is a HSE building, but if we could possibly use that because it's quite close, or even the prefabs would probably be the best, would be to take it up near the newer building so we could have the use of the new building as well.
Okay.
Because unfortunately this takes away from the light of the amazing facility that is there. And I think every child has a right to be able to use that facility.
All right, OK, the doll is sitting this week. My mistake, it's not sitting next week. I know they've put some business back to after St. Patrick's Day, so that's what confused me. So just so we can also stay on top of this, Aoife, with our inquiries, what kind of a timeline were you given by politicians that were there today? Or yesterday, sorry.
When we spoke, it was as like we did, they all noted that it was urgent. So we said it was this week, that we wanted answers this week. We're putting forward questions this week. We want to hear back from it this week. We've set up a little group of the councillors and TDs that were there and two parent representatives, so we are all in the same loop. Uh-huh. So we're going to keep keep this going, and we're going to start doing now more of a social media campaign to try and get the other parents that haven't applied that are looking to apply.
Yeah, because
we're people on board.
Yeah, because where the children are accommodated is important, because there's a nurse, mm-hmm. I believe, at Little Angels who will be located in the main building. So mm-hmm. having some children off site and the nurse on site wouldn't make a great deal of sense. So, but I think I think people understand that. Aoife, thank you very much indeed. Stay in touch with us, obviously, as you know that yourself.
Yes.
Thank you. God bless you and all. Councillor Michael McBride, thanks for your input as well. Take care of yourself.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. P-Boner says, we always have to fight for our children, but earlier when a woman tried to raise the issue of money missing for roads around Letterkenny, she was cut off. She wasn't cut off, P. Listen back to it. She made a point. She's looking for an archive of that story, and I joked that if I started speculating as to where the 50 million was going, I'd get into trouble. So chill pill. But I appreciate your input nonetheless. Right, I'm not going to go to any comments now. I'll come back with them after 10 o'clock. So if you've any views on anything we've talked about so far, or indeed if you wish to raise your own issue, you know how much we like to hear from you. It's very easy to WhatsApp and text us. Just get your phone out, 086 60 25 000. If communication for you is better orally and you want to send us a voice note, please feel free to do that as well. Or as always, give us a call on 074 91 25 000. But we take a break now for the news and the obituary notices. We'll chat to you after 10.